Chapter 6 Old Fear and New Fear. Rand passed through the struggling mob without any difficulty, of course. Maybe it was the presence of the maidens and the Ashaman. Or maybe Rand or one of the black-coated fellows did something with the power, but the crowd parted for him, with Min holding to his arm, and a very subdued Anura attempting to speak to him, and Loyal, who was still trying with some difficulty to write in his book, and carry his axe. Staring at one another, Perrin and Fael missed their chance to join them before the crowd closed up again. She said nothing for a time, and neither did he, not what he wanted to say, not with Aram there, staring at them like some worshipful hound. And Dobrain, frowning down at the unconscious woman put in his charge. No one else remained on the dais. Havian had gone with Rand to find Berlane, and as soon as Rand went, the other attendants had darted away toward the doors without a second glance at Perrin or Fael, or Kolaver. Without the first glance, for that matter. They just lifted their striped skirts and ran. Grunts and curses drifted from the pack, not all in men's voices. Even with Rand gone, those people wanted to be elsewhere, and now. Perhaps they thought Perrin stayed to watch and report, though had any glanced back, they would have seen his eyes were not on them. Climbing the rest of the way, he took Fael's hand and breathed in the scent of her. This close, the lingering perfumes did not matter. Anything else could wait. She produced a red lace fan from somewhere, and before spreading it to cool herself, touched first her cheek, then his. There was a whole language of fans in her native Saldaea. She had taught him a little. He wished he knew what the cheek-touching meant. It must be something good. On the other hand, her scent carried a spiky shading he knew too well. "He should have sent her to the block," Dobrain muttered, and Perrin shrugged uncomfortably. From the man's tone, it was not clear whether he meant that that was what the law called for, or that it would have been more merciful. Dobrain did not understand. Rand could have sprouted wings first. Fael's fan slowed to barely moving, and she eyed Dobrain sideways over the crimson lace. "Her death might be best for everyone. That is the prescribed penalty. What will you do, Lord Dobrain?" Sidelong or not, it still managed to be very direct. A very meaningful gaze. Perrin frowned. Not a word for him, but questions for Dobrain. And there was that undertone of jealousy in her aroma, making him sigh. The Carianan gave her a level look in a return, while thrusting his gauntlets behind his sword belt. "What I was commanded to do. I keep my oaths, Lady Fael." The fan snapped open and shut, faster than thought.
"He actually sent Aes Sedai to the Aiel? As prisoners?"
Disbelief tinged her voice.
"Some, Lady Fael," Dobrain hesitated.
"Some swore fealty on their knees. This I saw with my own eyes. They went to the Aiel too, but I do not think they can be called prisoners."
"I saw it too, my lady,"
Aram put in from his place on the steps, and a wide smile split his face when she glanced at him. Red lace described a fluttering hitch. What she did with the fan seemed almost unconscious.
"You both saw."
The relief in her voice and in her scent was so strong that Perrin stared.
"What did you think, Fael? Would Rand lie? Especially when everyone would know in a day."
Instead of answering immediately, she frowned down at Kolaver.
"Is she still under? Not that it matters, I suppose. She knows more than I would say here. Everything we worked so hard to keep hidden. She let that slip to Mare, too. She knows too much."
Dobrain thumbed one of Kolaver's eyes open none too gently.
"As if hit with a mace. A pity she did not break her neck on the steps. But she will go to her exile and learn to live as a farmer."
A brief, jaggedy, vexed smell wafted from Fael. Abruptly it hit Perrin what his wife had been proposing so obliquely, what Dobrain had rejected just as indirectly. Every hair in his body tried to stand. From the start he had known that he had married a very dangerous woman, just not how dangerous. Aram was peering at Colivert, his lips pursed in dark thought. The man would do anything for Fael. "I don't think Rand would like it if anything prevented her reaching that farm," Perrin said firmly, eyeing Aram and Fael in turn. "I wouldn't like it either." He felt rather proud of himself. That was talking around the point as well as any of them. Aram bowed his head briefly. He understood, but Fael tried to look innocent above her gently fluttering fan, with no notion what he was talking about. Suddenly he realized not all the fear scent came from the people still milling at the door. A thin, quivering thread of it wafted from her. Fear under control, yet it was there.
"What's the matter, Fael? Light you'd think Coiran and that lot had won instead of..."
Her face did not change, but the thread grew thicker.
"Is that why you didn't say anything at first?" he asked softly. "Were you afraid we had come back as puppets, and them pulling the strings?"
She eyed the rapidly diminishing crowd across the grand hall. The nearest of them was a long way, and all making a good deal of noise, but she lowered her voice even so.
"Aes Sedai can do that sort of thing, I've heard. My husband, no one knows more than I that even Aes Sedai would find hard times trying to make you dance for a puppet. Much harder than a man who's just the dragon reborn. But when you walked in here, I was more afraid than at any time since you left."
Amusement trickled through in the first of that, like tiny bubbles in his nose, and warm fondness and love, the smell of her clear and pure and strong. But all of those faded by the end, leaving that thin trembling thread.
"Light, Fael, it's true. Every word Rand said. You heard Dobrain and Aram?"
She smiled and nodded and worked her fan. That thread still quivered in his nostrils, though.
"Blood and ashes, what does it take to convince her?"
"Would it help if he had Varen dance the Sassara? She will, if he tells her to."
He meant it for a joke. All he knew of the Sassara was that it was scandalous, and that Fael had once admitted knowing how to dance it, though recently she sidestepped and all but denied it. He meant it for a joke, but she closed her fan and tapped it on her wrist. He knew that one.
"I am giving your suggestion serious thought." "I don't know what would be enough, Perrin."
She shivered slightly.
"Is there anything an Aes Sedai would not do or put up with if the White Tower told her to? I have studied my history, and I was taught to read between the lines. Mashera Donavel bore 7 children for a man she loathed, whatever the stories say. And Isabai Tobagni delivered the brothers she loved to their enemies and the throne of Arad-Daman with them. And Jestion Redhill..."
She shivered again, not so slightly.
"It's all right," he murmured, wrapping her in his arms.
He had studied several books of history himself, but he had never seen those names. The daughter of a lord received a different education from a blacksmith's apprentice.
"It really is true."
Dobrain averted his eyes, and so did Aram, though with a pleased grin. She resisted at first, but not very hard. He could never be sure when she would avoid a public embrace, and when welcome it. Only that if she did not want one, she made it clear in no uncertain terms, with or without words. This time she snuggled her face into his chest and hugged him back, squeezing harder.
"If any Aes Sedai ever harms you," she whispered, "I will kill her."
He believed her.
"You belong to me, Perrin Tabashir Ebarra. To me."
He believed that, too. As her hug grew fiercer, so did the thorny scent of jealousy. He almost chuckled. It seemed the right to put a knife in him was reserved to her. He would have chuckled, except that filament of fear remained. That and what she had said about Mare. He could not smell himself, but he knew what was there. Fear. Old fear and new fear for the next time. The last of the nobles forced their way from the Grand Hall without anyone being trampled, sending Aram off to tell Danil to bring the Two Rivers men into the city, and wondering how he was going to feed them. Perrin offered Fayil his arm and led her out, leaving Dobrain with Kolaver, who was finally showing signs of awakening. He had no wish to be around when she woke, and Fayil, with her hand on his wrist, seemed not to either. They walked quickly, eager to reach their rooms, if not necessarily for the same reasons. The nobles apparently had not stopped their flight once they were out of the Grand Hall. The corridors were empty except for servants who kept their eyes down and moved at a silent rush. But before they had gone very far, Perrin caught the sound of footsteps and realized they were being followed. It seemed unlikely that Kolaver had any open supporters still, but if there were any, they might think to strike at Rand through his friend, walking alone with his wife while the Dragon Reborn was elsewhere. Only when Perrin spun about, hand to his axe, he stared instead of drawing the weapon. It was Salanda and her friends from the entry hall, with 8 or 9 new faces. They gave a start when he turned and exchanged abashed glances. Some were Tyrans, including a woman who stood taller than all but one of the Carianan men. She wore a man's coat and tight breeches, just like Salanda and the rest of the women, with a sword on her hip. He had not heard that this nonsense had spread to the Tyrans.
"Why are you following us?" he demanded. "If you try to make me any of your woolhead trouble, I vow I'll kick the lot of you from here to Beltane."
He had had problems before with these idiots, or some just like them anyway. All they thought about was their honor and fighting duels and taking one another Gaishine. That last really set the Aiel's teeth on edge.
"Attend my husband and obey," Fayil put in sharply. "He is not a man to be trifled with."
Gawking stares vanished, and they backed away, bowing, competing over flourishes. They were still at it when they vanished around a turn.
"Bloody young buffoons," Perrin muttered, offering Fayil his wrist again.
"My husband is wise in his years," she murmured.
Her tone was utterly serious. Her smell was something else again. Perrin managed not to snort. True, a few of them might be a year or two older than he, but they were all like children with their playing at Aiel. Now, with Fayil in a good mood, seemed as good a time as any to begin what they had to talk about, what he had to talk about.
"Fayil, how did you come to be one of Kolaver's attendants?"
"The servants, Perrin,"
she spoke softly. Nobody 2 steps away could have heard a word. She knew all about his hearing and the wolves. That was nothing a man could keep from his wife. Her fan touched her ear, admonishing caution in speech.
"Too many people forget servants are there, but servants listen too. In Carrion, they listen far too much."
None of the liveried people he saw were doing any listening. The few who did not duck down side corridors when they saw him and Fayil went by at a near run, gazes on the floor, and gathered in on themselves. Any sort of news spread quickly in Carrion. Events in the Grand Hall would have flown. The word was in the streets by now, probably on its way out of the city already. Without any doubt, there were eyes and ears in Carrion for the Aes Sedai and the White Cloaks, and likely more thrones than not. In that hushed voice, she went on despite her caution to him.
"Kolaver could not be fast enough to take me in, once she learned who I am. My father's name impressed her as much as my cousin's."
She finished with a little nod, as if she had answered everything. It was a good answer. Almost. Her father was Davram, High Seat of House Bashir, Lord of Bashir, Tyre, and Sedona, Guardian of the Blight Border, Defender of the Heartland, and Marshal General to Queen Tenobia of Saldaea. Fayil's cousin was Tenobia herself. More than reason for Kolaver to leap at Fayil for one of her attendants. But he had had time to mull things over now, and he prided himself that he was becoming used to her ways. Married life taught a man about women, or about one woman, anyway. The answer she had not given confirmed something. Fayil had no concept of danger, not where she herself was concerned. He could not speak of it there in the corridor, of course. Whisper how he would, she did not have his ears, and doubtless she would insist every servant within 50 paces was listening. Holding his patience, he walked on with her until they reached the rooms that had been set aside for them, what seemed an age ago now. The lamps had been lit, making shimmers on the dark polished walls, each tall wooden panel carved in concentric rectangles. In the square stone fireplace, the hearth was swept bare and laid with a few pitiful branches of leather leaf. They were almost green. Fayil went straight to a small table where 2 golden pitchers stood beaded with moisture on a tray.
"They have left us blueberry tea, my husband, and wine punch. The wine is from Theron, I think. They cool the punch in the cisterns beneath the palace. Which would you prefer?"
Perrin unbuckled his belt and tossed belt and axe on a chair. He had planned out what he had to say very carefully on the way here. She could be a prickly woman.
"Fayil, I missed you more than I can say, and worried about you, but..."
"Worried about me?"
she snapped, spinning to face him. She stood straight and tall, eyes fierce as those of her falcon namesake, and her fan made a coring motion toward his middle. No part of the language of fans. She made the same gesture with a knife sometimes.
"When almost the first words from your mouth were to ask after that... that woman..."
His jaw dropped. How could he have forgotten the smell filling his nostrils? He nearly put a hand up to see whether his nose was bleeding.
"Fayil, I wanted her thief catchers."
No, he was not stupid enough to repeat that name.
"She said she had proof of the poison before I left. You heard her. I just wanted the proof, Fayil."
It did no good. That spiky stench softened not a whit, and the thin, sour smell of hurt joined it.
What under the light had he said to hurt her? "Her proof! What I gathered went for nothing, but her proof put Colivert's head on the block, or should have."
That was his opening, but she was not about to let him push a word in edgewise. She advanced on him, looking daggers, her fan darting like one. All he could do was back away.
"Do you know what story that woman put about?"
Fayil almost hissed. A black viper could not have dripped so much venom.
"Do you? She said the reason you were not here was that you were at a manor not far from the city, where she could visit you. I told the story I prepared, that you were hunting, and the light knows you spent enough days hunting. But everyone believed I was putting a good face on you and her. Together! Colivert delighted in it. I could believe she only took that Mayenner's strumpet as an attendant to throw the two of us together. Fayil, Berylaine, come lace my gown. Fayil, Berylaine, come hold the mirror for the hairdresser. Fayil, Berylaine, come wash my back. So she could amuse herself waiting for us to claw one another's eyes out. That is what I've had to put up with. For you, you hairy-eared—"
His back thumped against the wall, and something snapped inside him. He had been frightened spitless for her, terrified, ready to face down Rand or the Dark One himself. And he had done nothing, had never encouraged Berylaine, had done everything in his wits to chase the woman away. For which his thanks was this. Gently he took her by the shoulders and lifted her until those big tilted eyes were level with his.
"You listen to me," he said calmly.
He tried to make his voice calm, at least. It came out more of a growl in his throat.
"How dare you speak to me like that? How dare you? I worried myself near to death for fear you'd been hurt. I love you, and nobody else but you. I want no other woman but you. Do you hear me? Do you?"
Crushing her to his chest, he held her, wanting to never let her go. Light he had been so afraid. He shook even now for what might have been.
If anything happened to you, I'd die for you. I would lie down in your grave and die. Do you think I don't know how Kolaver found out who you are? You made sure she found out.
Spying, she had told him once, was a wife's work.
Light woman, you could have ended like Mare. Kolaver knows you're my wife. My wife. Perrine Barra. Randall Thor's friend. Did it ever occur to you she might be suspicious? She could have... Lightfire, she could have...
Abruptly, he realized what he was doing. She was making sounds against his chest, but no words he could recognize. He wondered that he did not hear her ribs creaking. Berating himself for an oaf, he let her go, arms springing apart, but before he could apologize, her fingers clutched his beard.
"So you love me,"
she said softly. Very softly. Very warmly. She was smiling, too.
A woman likes to hear that said the right way.
She had dropped the fan, and her free hand drew fingernails down his cheek, not far from hard enough to draw blood. But her throaty laugh held heat, and the smoldering in her eyes was as far from anger as possible.
A good thing you didn't say you never looked at another woman, or I would think you had gone blind.
He was too stunned for words, too stunned even to gape. Rand understood women. Matt understood women. But Perrin knew he never would. She was always as much kingfisher as falcon, changing direction faster than he could think. Yet this... That thorny scent was gone completely, and in its place was another smell of her he knew well. A smell that was her, pure and strong and clean. Add that to her eyes, and any moment she was going to say something about farm girls at harvest. They were notorious, apparently, Saldaean farm girls.
"As for you lying down on my grave," she went on, "if you do, my soul will haunt yours, I promise you. You will mourn me a decent time, and then you'll find yourself another wife. Someone I'd approve of, I hope."
With a soft laugh, she stroked his beard.
"You really aren't fit to take care of yourself, you know. I want your promise."
Best not to crack his teeth on that. Say he would not, and this wonderful mood might be swallowed in a firestorm. Quicksilver was not in it, really. Say he would... By the smell of her, every word was the light's pure truth, but he would believe that when horses roosted in trees. He cleared his throat.
"I need to bathe. I haven't seen soap in I don't know how long. I must smell like an old barn."
Leaning against his chest, she drew a deep breath.
"You smell wonderful. Like you."
Her hands moved on his shoulders. "I feel as..." The door banged open.
"Perrin! Berylaine isn't..."
"I'm sorry. Forgive me."
Rand stood shifting his feet, not at all like the dragon reborn. There were maidens in the hallway outside. Min put her head around the doorframe, took one look, grinned at Perrin, and ducked back out of sight. Fael stepped away so smoothly, so stately, that one would never have guessed what she had been saying a moment before, or what she had been about to say. There were spots of color in her cheeks, though, bright and hot.
"So kind of you, my lord dragon," she said coolly, "to drop in so unexpectedly. I apologize for not hearing your knock."
Maybe those blushes were as much anger as embarrassment. It was Rand's turn to blush and scrub a hand through his hair.
"Berylaine isn't in the palace. She's spending the night on that sea folk ship anchored in the river, of all things. Anura didn't tell me till I was nearly to Berylaine's apartments."
Perrin tried very hard not to wince. Why did he have to keep saying the woman's name?
"You wanted to talk to me about something else, Rand?"
He hoped he had not put too much emphasis in that, yet he hoped Rand caught it. He did not look at Fael, but he tested the air gingerly. No jealousy. Not yet. A good deal of anger, however. For a moment, Rand stared at him, looked through him. listening to something else. Perrin folded his arms to stop from shuddering.
"I need to know," Rand said finally.
"Are you still unwilling to command the army against Ilion?
I have to know now." "I'm no general," Perrin said raggedly.
"There would be battles in Ilion." Images flashed in his head. Men all around him, and the axe in his hands spinning, hewing his way through. Always more men, however many he cut down, in endless ranks. And in his heart, a seed growing. He could not face that again. He would not. "Besides, I thought I was supposed to stay close to you." That was what Min had said, from one of her viewings. Twice Perrin had to be there, or Rand would go down to disaster. Once had been Dumai's Wells, maybe, but there was still another to come. "We must all take risks." Rand's voice was very quiet, and very hard. Min peered around the doorframe again, looking as if she wanted to come to him, but she glanced at Fael and stayed outside.
"Rand, the Aes Sedai..."
A smart man would let this lie, probably. He had never claimed to be particularly smart, though.
"The wise ones are ready to skin them alive, or near enough. You can't let them be harmed, Rand."
In the corridor, Sulin turned to study him through the doorway. The man he thought he knew laughed, a wheezing sound.
"We all have to take risks," he repeated. "I won't let them be hurt, Rand."
Cold blue eyes met his gaze.
"You won't let it?"
"I won't," Perrin told him levelly. He did not flinch from that stare, either.
"They are prisoners and no threat. They're women."
"They are Aes Sedai." Rand's voice was so like Aram's back at Dumai's Wells that it nearly took Perrin's breath away.
"Rand, I do what I have to do, Perrin."
For a moment he was the old Rand, not liking what was happening. For a moment he looked tired to death. A moment only. Then he was the new Rand again, hard enough to mark steel.
"I won't harm any Aes Sedai who doesn't deserve it, Perrin. I can't promise more. Since you don't want the army, I can use you elsewhere. Just as well, really. I wish I could let you rest longer than a day or two, but I can't. There's no time. No time, and we must do what we must. Forgive me for interrupting you." He sketched a bow, one hand on the hilt of his sword.
"Fael." Perrin tried to catch his arm, but he was out of the room, the door closing behind him, before Perrin could move. Rand was not really Rand anymore, it seemed. A day or two? Where in the light did Rand mean him to go, if not to the army gathering down on the plains of Moredo?
"My husband," Fael breathed, "you have the courage of three men, and the sense of a child on leading strings. Why is it that as a man's courage goes up, his sense goes down?"
Perrin grunted indignantly. He refrained from mentioning women who set themselves to spy on people who had committed murders and almost certainly knew they were spying. Women always talked about how logical they were compared to men, but for himself, he had seen precious little of it.
"Well, perhaps I don't really want the answer, even if you know it."
Stretching with her arms over her head, she gave a throaty laugh.
"Besides, I don't mean to let him spoil the mood. I still feel as forward as a farm girl at..." "Why are you laughing? Stop laughing at me, Perrin Tabashire Barra. Stop it, I say, you uncouth oaf. If you don't..."
The only way to put an end to it was to kiss her. In her arms, he forgot Rand and Aes Sedai and battles. Where Fael was home.